Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Today is Monday, January the 13th, 2025, and we're continuing our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter How It Works, the third paragraph on page 70. If we have been thorough about our personal inventory, and we're reading through one paragraph ending with willing to straighten out the past if we can. So today's readers are the 12 Steps, Chanel T, 12 Traditions, Judy O, and readers of the text, Karen K, Lisa B, and Chanel T. The reference number for yesterday, the special edition, Sunday, January the 12th, 22072. That's 22072. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And this morning, Chanel T. is going to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Chanel.
Hi, Chanel T. in Washington State, grateful and compulsive eater in recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Darwin, everybody, to meet it. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening, as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Chanel T. And next we have Judy O. reading the 12 traditions. Welcome, Judy.
Thank you. And hi, I'm Judy O., compulsive overeater and food addict. Tradition 1, our common welfare should consist, personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop overeating. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group would never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such will never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name will never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Judy O. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter, How It Works, on page 70, the third paragraph. If we have been thorough about our personal inventory, and we're reading that one paragraph ending with willing to straighten out the past if we can. And Karen Kay, would you get us started, please? Welcome, Karen.
Good morning. My name is Karen Kay from Syracuse, New York, and my credits don't transfer, and I'm definitely a compulsive eater. The paragraph says, if we have been thorough about our inventory, we have written down a lot. We have listened, we have listed and analyzed our resentments. We have begun to comprehend the futility and fatality. We have commenced to see their terrible destructiveness. We have begun to tolerate. We have begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill to all men, even our enemies, for we look on them as sick people. We have listed the people we have hurt by our conduct, and we are willing to straighten out the past if we can. So for me, my experience with this paragraph is the first word is if. So I have to ask myself, did I cover everything when I did my fifth step? You know, even though I spent that hour, you know, right after I did my fourth with my sponsor. So they're giving us another chance. It's my opinion is, you know, what was I thorough? Because there's still a chance to say, hey, there's still more that I need to talk about that I didn't write about, you know, and analyzing it is what I've done with my sponsor and obviously with God first, you know, about those, because not every resentment has to be on the amends list, which and I'm kind of jumping ahead here. And in doing that, we see the fruits of learning all this, also how fatal that this behavior can be, not only to me, but to somebody else. And how it destroys, it reminds me of the part in the Big Book where that tornado, and the husband comes up from the bottom, I don't see anything wrong here, Ma. You know, it's kind of like that for me. But the blessing of all this is I began to learn to have some tolerance and patience and goodwill toward all men. And you know, I've learned to pray not only for when I need something, but also pray when things, you know, don't go wrong and ask the Holy Spirit for guidance and direction towards, you know, someone I may not particularly care about or I really don't like. And I'm sure I'm not liked by many people too. So I certainly hope that they are praying for me. And then it goes here that look on that they were sick people. I mean, we're all spiritually, I mean, I'm sick myself. I'm spiritually sick trying to get well. And then it goes in, we listed the people that I have hurt by my conduct. So, you know, how would God have me be? You know, I mean, when my sponsor at the time, it took me through, it's probably one of the best times I've gone through the steps is, you know, do I want truth or do I want the food? Do I want truth or do I want the food? You know, so I need to be ready to clean house, to go to people and say, you know, not just I'm sorry, you know, X, Y, Z, X, Y, Z. And they say, going forward, this is how I would like to conduct myself in the future and actually give that person an opportunity to actually respond. And get permission. I know we're not on that step, but it says here we're willing to straighten out the past if we can. And I'll just close with this. In this process, willing to straighten out the past. It's just the beginning, so we're probably doing step 8 there. Just be willing to make a list. You know, to injure them or others, I may be the person that can be injured and the other person could possibly be injured. And that's where prayer and going over it with my sponsor going forward. So I'm going to be quiet with that, and everybody have a wonderful meeting. I pass.
Thank you for getting us started, Karen Kay. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It really does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Lisa B. in South Carolina.
Sonia S. from Pennsylvania.
Okay, we've got Lisa B., Sonia S., who else, please?
Gail H.
Patty O. in Florida.
Gail H. in Washington State.
Yeah, I got you, Gail. Thank you.
Oh, thank you then.
Larry K., Chicago.
Anyone else?
Christine G. in Connecticut.
Perfect. Okay, we've got our lineup. Thank you. We have, can't spell Connecticut. Okay, we have Lisa B., Sonia, Gail H., Patty O., Larry K., and Christine G. Lisa B. with an E, please start us off. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Lynn. Thank you so much for your service. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa B., and I'm calling from the state of South Carolina, and I do spell my name L-E-S-A. It was really good for me to hear the lead share and the reading. You know, I just closed my eyes while she read that, and what really jumped out for me was we've begun to comprehend. And also we have analyzed our resentments and, you know, so it's saying if we've been thorough and of course, you know, we don't do this perfectly and it's a lifetime. I'm learning a skill set of how to inventory. And that's really what everything is going to be based on now going forward, steps 4 through 9 it's like a foundation I'm building, and that's how I live in steps 10, 11, and 12, where I can have permanent recovery. You know, I don't have to have chronic relapse. But, you know, I think about that word, we've begun to analyze and we've begun to comprehend, and it's about my heart softening, and I don't do this in a vacuum, and I don't do this just once, you know. I shared the last time I shared last week about my heart, learning how my heart has been very hard, and I've done this process many times, but I just keep going to deeper levels, and I have to do this with another recovered fellow. I have to invite God in. I definitely have to have entire abstinence, and I need to pray and have God show me and help me. But to take perfectionism off the table. But one of the things that I have begun to comprehend, you know, and the futility and fatality of it, is my expectations of others and the perfectionism I have of myself and others, demanding and learning that I don't make demands. I can ask God, I can ask others, but I can't demand and I can't expect. And I'm learning to have goodwill toward all men, you know, even my enemies. And I'm seeing how I am sick. They are sick. And I look at the people that I've hurt by my conduct, by my ideas and values that I've been living by. And right now at this point, you know, I'm just willing to straighten out the past if I can. But that's all that I am right now. You know, that's where I am right here. And you know what? That's humility. Because I want to charge forward like a bull in a china shop and get it all done. Get it done now. You know, get it done so I could be more comfortable and, you know, wipe my hands clean. And no, it's doing this methodically and under the direction and suggestions, you know, of a sponsor and the big book and prayer and meditation. Not going super slow like a snail, because we want to do this quickly, you know, because it's like holding my breath underwater if I'm not moving. But at the same time, I'm learning tolerance and patience, and I'm beginning to comprehend the futility and fatality, and I'm learning what it is to be thorough about my personal inventory, and I am analyzing them with God and in prayer, all the while moving forward, and my heart is softening, and it's changing, and more light is coming in and more freedom. So thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Lisa B. from South Carolina. Next, we have Sonia S., followed by Gail H. Good morning, Sonia.
Good morning. This is Sonia S. from Pennsylvania, grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater, and I'm so grateful to be on this meeting. I relapsed maybe 2.5 weeks ago, and I'm on day two now, but I've been talking to my sponsor a lot about, you know, what happened. And one of the things that came up was step three. So I am looking at the steps again closely. And this particular passage just reminds me how terrifying my thinking becomes when I am in the food. I am not able to manage my emotions on my own, and my fears and my resentments, all of that is magnified when I'm not abstinent, and it's painful, and I'm prone, obviously, to make poor decisions. So I'm, you know, not at step 4 and 5 yet, but there are some things I already know that I need to write about and understand. And in my two-way prayer, I don't know, maybe a couple weeks ago when I wrote about my relapse, God said, you know, dig deeper, you know, I need to dig deeper and slow down, even though I don't want to. You know, I want to be recovered now. No, that's not the way it works. You know, it's God's timing and my willingness. And so I'm very humbled by this program.
And I'm grateful for all of you, and I love all of you. And I'm hoping that I can make the OA birthday party, just dependent upon my work situation. But even so, I'll be there in spirit. So thanks again, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you, Sonia S. from Pennsylvania. Now we have Gail H., followed by Patty O. Good morning, Gail.
Good morning, Lynn. This is Gail H. from Seattle, Washington. And thank you all for starting this meeting and service. I am very grateful to Vision for You and all of your insight and sharing, but especially the honesty. And in my inventory, you know, I have recognized that I've lived with a huge blind spot where I was almost like an itch. I knew I wasn't seeing some things, but I couldn't do it. And I was right, because it takes God's grace to help look at some of the things that interrupted my peace of mind and really niggled at me for growth and change. And yesterday I was starting my day with Vision. The first thing I do is I wake up early and I turn on Vision, and it sets the tone for what my higher power is presenting to me. And then listening to you and coming out with a different attitude than I did before I came in. And that is the nature of this program, and that is so helpful. However, on this step, what I find for myself is a number of things that speak to me. And yesterday I got a call from someone I sponsor, and they were changing their time yet again, one more time. And it's wonderful. These steps are about living our life, and I became resentful. No blind spot. There it was. And in my inventory, what I'm learning and relearning is if you spot it, you got it. And I thought of many years ago, and I've been in this program almost 56 years, that there were many times 50 years ago that this particular person had to wait on me. And what is that like? And that is something that I get a chance to feel how difficult that was. And it increases my awareness in a very circuitous route, but God's route, not mine, to begin to have compassion, understanding, and step back and look at those behaviors in a way that is right-sized. It is not judged, it's not complicated by my judgment. It doesn't have that blind spot. Thank you, Lynn. It has some clarity. So but I'm very grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Gail H. from Washington. Patty O., it's your turn, followed by Larry K. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning. This is Patty O. I live in Florida. I'm a compulsive overeater. And when I read this, I know what I need to do. I know what I need to bring out, and I know what to write down. But the fear of even acknowledging that there's something that's causing me discomfort, it's tremendous, and it paralyzes me. So I'm trying to practice courage that I receive from my higher power, because I am fear-driven. Everything frightens me. But this is really something, you know, it's because I sort of know what I'm going to have to do, and I don't want to do that, you know, and so I can rationalize and justify saying nothing. But I'm going to trust, I'm going to try to practice the program, because I do see the terrible destructiveness of letting fear rule my life. I ate for the month of December, and I'm back just recently, and I'm so grateful that I have another chance. I have another sponsor, and she's gentle, but she tells me what's what, and I'm willing to do the work, and I'm willing to share on this line when, you know, I'm afraid nobody's going to understand what the hell I'm talking about. So anyway, I hope you all have a happy day, an amazing day, and that's what I'm going to try to do. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Patty O from Florida. Now we've got Larry K, followed by Christine G. Hi, Larry.
Hey, Lynn. Good morning. Larry K, recovered in Chicago. So if I look at the paragraph, I'll zero in on, you know, we've begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill toward all men and women, even our enemies. You know, to confront my spiritual brokenness, you know, my disconnection from the sunlight of the spirit, you know, there is, it seems to me, a requirement. And that requirement is humility in the face of my human limitations. And that's not always so easy. Because after all, how can one truly offer tolerance and patience, kindness for others, if I'm either still full of self-importance and arrogance, or on the other end of the spectrum, how about being full of self-loathing and fear that I don't measure up, very comparative. See, I believe that as we navigate these steps, at least this has been my experience, you know, what God provides me with is the ability to confront my own weaknesses. And that's a really great thing, whatever they may be. And we all have them. And in the course of this confrontation, confronting these weaknesses, my higher power begins to build within me virtues, you know, that are already there, but I begin to build on these virtues where my heart is softened. It's warmed up a bit, you know. Tolerance for others, well, that's, you know, here's what I know. My heart cannot be warmed in a classroom of intellect. I can't be changed by sort of mechanically taking notes in the classroom, right? The tolerant heart is forged, I think, through a lifetime of diligent effort, imperfect effort, to dig deeply within. That's what we do here. You can't teach it. You can't email it. You can't tweet it. It has to be discovered within the depths of one's own heart, and that's what happens. God makes it possible. It's an organic process, really. And what a wise person teaches is really the smallest part of what they give. It's really the totality of their life, of how they go about treating others, that gets transmitted. So in the end, you know, no one's going to care about my resume, what I accomplished, what I achieved. You know, what they'll care about is maybe my eulogy self. You know, how did I treat others? Did I respect them? Did I offer others the same unearned grace that was offered me? Did I do that? Can I answer softly when challenged, harshly? You know, you bet I can. I can do that. God makes that possible for me. The steps are so much more than merely a way out of the food. The paragraph tells me that I will endeavor to straighten out my past. Nowhere does it say that I will reconcile your past. So, because that problem centers in me. You know, that your deficiencies have no correlation to my spiritual recovery. It's my
time
deficiencies. Yeah, thanks, Lynn. So the freedom from the bondage of self is not dependent on the elimination of their defects of character. It's mine. It's mine. With gratitude. Thanks, Lynn. I'll pass.
Thank you, Larry K. from Chicago. Christine G. from Connecticut, please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. This is Christine G. in Connecticut, recovered compulsive overeater, and so grateful to be here. When I'm reading this paragraph, I'm reflecting on the shame of this disease that I lived in, but I covered it up with my resentments and fears and my compulsive eating as a result of that. And now I've heard a lot of people mention softening of the heart, and I've come to I've come to discover that place over these years. I always thought I had a soft heart. I always thought it was open. I thought I had a bleeding heart, and it was bleeding, but it was not as compassionate. It was very self-involved, and the world wasn't the way I wanted the world to be, and people weren't the way I wanted them to be. So yeah, I who'd have thought I was living in resentment and fear. I had no idea. And when I woke up to that reality that I was living in that place, I was flooded with shame, and in review of all of the things and thoughts that I had shared with people and my behaviors. But now, having worked the steps yet again, God has been giving me a deepening into my own heart. And because I'm now living from deep within inside my heart, because of God's grace, I'm able to love, to be more compassionate, to give that patience, tolerance, and goodwill to others, but to myself too, because I know for me, though I didn't realize it years ago, I was really hard on myself. Some of us realize we're hard on ourselves and it's very overt. And sometimes my perfectionism is silent and deadly. And so I had to realize that in order to be able to be tolerant, patient, and give goodwill to others, I had to give it to myself. And I have to remember that I have a disease. I have a disease. And as long as I stay close to God, I can live with that disease, happy, joyous, and free. I don't have to feel the effects of this disease. I have these tools that I can keep close to my heart and live with in action every single day. And I'm finally able to say, like, it is such a gift. Thank God I get to be one of us. You know, thank God I have found this place, because what I have really found is God. That's what I've really found. Yes, the freedom, joy, all of that, that's beautiful. It's just the cherries on top. Finding God is everything. A real personal relationship to whom I can rely upon completely.
Time, please.
So thank you all for being here and keep coming back.
Thank you, Christine G. from Connecticut. For those of us who might have come on the line a little bit later, this morning we're continuing our study of the Big Book in the chapter, How It Works. We're on page 70, the third paragraph, if we have been thorough about our personal inventory. So the line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day, so that others may share their experience too. So if you share it on Thursday or Friday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Natalie S.
Roz G.
Bonnie B.
Okay, so far we... Oops, excuse me, who was that, please?
Conayeta R.
Nicole S.
Okay. So my pen just stopped, so Conayeta and Nicole. Okay, so who I have is Natalie S., Roz G, Bonnie B, Hanayeta R, and Nicole. I think it was Nicole S, I'm not sure. Anyone else?
Blanca BG.
Great. There's our lineup then. Thank you. We've got Natalie S, Roz G, Bonnie B, Hanayeta R, Nicole, and Blanca BG. Natalie S., welcome.
Hi, Lynn. Thank you. Yes, this is Natalie S. From Indiana. gratefully and mercifully recovered today. And what I love about, the one part that struck me about this reading and from the shares is that the path from A to B has A1, A2, A3, A4, all the way through 12, right? And if I skip one, when I've skipped one, I find that the next step is faulty. There's a crack in the cement. There's a hole in the wall. There's something that I'm not willing to look at. And I was reminded of how, you know, in the Christian tradition, there's the creation story of how even God took 7 days sequentially to create the world, right? First, he created the earth, then he created the waters, then he created the land on the waters, then he put the plants. There was a sequence of events that was logical. And what I find, and I'm finding daily, that's so miraculous in these steps and this program is that not only God, but other fellows that, for me, become part of my God squad, it's like I'm blind without arms and I have these glasses that are fogged or muddy and I can't see what I can't see. But that willingness at the beginning of this paragraph, if I will, which even if I will and I don't know what I'm getting into, God steps towards me and he matches my small willingness with a giant leap of recovery. And so it's a backwards, upside down thought to someone who likes to think logically and figure things out, but it's absolutely true is what I'm finding. And this new spiritual plane that we live on is just something that I have to turn my mind off to because I can't conceive of what it is even, which is just demonstrates my powerlessness over myself, my thoughts, my actions, and my disease. So hopefully that encourages somebody today. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And where are you calling from, please, Natalie? No, I guess we lost her. Okay, that was Natalie S. Roz G., it's your turn, followed by Bonnie B. And Roz, where are you calling from, please?
Hi, Lynn. I'm Roz G., and I am calling from Palmdale, California, which is Los Angeles County. And I am a recovered compulsive overeater. And to catch this share this morning. So it just so happens that I completed fifth step inventory on this weekend, going through the steps again. And boy, did I see some more stuff that I was, you know, that was some of the self-pity was controlling me. And a lot of my stuff was wanting to be a victim, wanting to be right and in control, a little bit of denial. And you know, it doesn't look good, but I just would like to continue to recover. I want to continue the cycle of the 12 steps in my life, because I keep learning things about myself, because as I age and I go through different phases of my life and my kids age and I get involved in different experiences with different people, things come up. I just will remain a human being and I'll have to continue to look at myself for the rest of my life. And what I got out of this last go through is that I really want to pause when agitated and I really want to be my authentic self. And when I can pause when I'm agitated, that gives me the opportunity to allow God to come in and show me how to respond and how to respond to a situation that I'm annoyed with. And it's usually right here, tolerance, patience, and goodwill. And when I am my authentic self, that means that I can be a joy to be around, because I've wanted to be too much like my sister. And found out that the people I was envious of, mostly my sister and some people at work, were really not them. It was really me. And it was really like my parents or the hiring committee versus the person who got the job. They didn't do anything. They were just being their authentic self. So I'm practicing. I'm asking God to help me to practice a pause. It's like my theme for the new year. And to be
time, please.
My authentic. Thank you. To be my authentic self, which is very goofy. So I will go ahead and pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Roz G. from California. Bonnie B., it's your turn, followed by Hana Yetta R. Welcome, Bonnie.
Hey, good morning, Lynn. Thanks for your service today. Good morning, everyone. Bonnie B., recovered by the grace of my God, living in the state of Florida. You know, every single paragraph to me just screams something. And I think, you know, I've gone through the book a handful of times, and it's never the same thing. And this just dials down again how big my God is. And so often for me, and it did again this morning, the word that was highlighted was the very first word, if. So many conditions. I mean, God is always there, but this is tag team. Yeah, he's given me a program, but I do play a part in this, right? I have to do my part for him to step back in. If I've been thorough. Well, this is a catch for me, because I came in with a very strong desire to show up perfect. I wanted everyone to think it was something that I knew deep down it wasn't. And my program has revealed to me that God's not in that place. What God wants from me is he wants my heart. He doesn't want my list. I came with a notebook, new stickies, a new calendar, and I was ready to do the list. And that's not where my God was found at. He wants me. He wants my heart. And my heart is on a daily basis doing whatever he reveals to me. So, you know, a handful of the shares before me, and all of them were amazing, stated some of the things I was thinking, like, I can't see what I can't see. I can't see it if I can't see it. But if I'm willing, and this is where the food has to be down, because if the food isn't down, I can't hear God. There's just too much other background noise. But if I'm willing, he's going to show me. And it's not like a dump truck, because that would make me run the other direction. It's a still, small voice, just to check on the inside. No baseball bat, just to check on the inside. It's like peeling an onion back. This is why I believe there's depth in this program. It's not about getting to the number on the scale. That comes with emotional sobriety. That's a given. But that's what I came in looking for. It's not about that. It's about figuring out why I did what I did. And then letting others live their life while I live in that state of peace, trusting God that he's going to do for me what he has never done for me in the past, because I haven't known what to do with this stuff in front of me. My prayer, one of my prayers on a daily basis, multiple times, and I'll pass with this, is, dear God, bless them and change me. Bless them and change me. And so I appreciate each of you. And Lynn, I so appreciate your service. And I hope that everyone has a blessed day today, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Bonnie B. in Florida. Now we have Hana Yetta R., followed by Nicole. Good morning, Hana Yetta.
Good morning, Lynn. This is Hana Yetta R. from the big state of Texas. Plano, Texas is where I am. And I'm going to thank you for your service and all you do for us as far as a group. You do a lot. Thank you. It says the very beginning, let's see, if we have been thorough about our personal inventories. Well, when I first said that I was going to do my four-step, well, I didn't say when my sponsor asked me. I had a sponsor from AA because we didn't have hardly anybody in OA. Well, there wasn't anybody in OA that was abstinent and could lead me through the steps, so I had an AA sponsor. And I went off to writing all the things that I had done to other people. I had this huge list, which was not step, not this step, not step four. And it was pages and pages and pages. I think it was about 30 pages of all the people I had harmed. And I told her that I had all these things, and I started to share it with her. And she said, that's not exactly what we're supposed to do. And she said, I think you missed somebody on this list anyway. And I said, well, who is that? I've got everybody I know. She goes, well, did you look in the mirror? What about yourself? Did you list yourself? Because you had harmed yourself more than anyone. And I was flabbergasted by that because I didn't think that I'd hurt me with all the stuff that I was taking and eating and everything. Me? Anyway, but then I had to go back and redo the steps correctly. But I just, you know, it just amazed me that that's what I heard because that's where I was. I thought it was such a piece of garbage. The other thing I wanted to comment was that we have begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill. You know, I've been in OA since 1981, and I have definitely since then have learned a lot of tolerance, patience, and goodwill. The hardest part for me was in my own home, in my my family, you know, with my husband especially. And today we have a really good marriage, although we have been through terrible times. But it's not because, I think most of it is because of my attitude and my tolerance and my patience and my goodwill, although he's done a lot of changing too. And that is totally a miracle. And I just wanted to share for anybody out there, the newcomers, people struggling, people coming back, don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. You guys are a miracle waiting to happen, and there is a miracle out there for all of us. Just look for it. It's there. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you again, Lynn, for letting me share.
Thank you, Hanayeta R. from Texas. Nicole, it's your turn. Could you please give us your last initial and where you're calling from, Nicole? Welcome.
Hi, this is Nicole S., as in Sam, from Colorado. Thank you, Lynn, for your service. And I like how this paragraph starts off, if we have been thorough. So there, it's conditional and, you know, listed and analyzed, you know, those character defects, those harms I've done, the resentments, the fears, sex conduct. And it's so wonderful we have help with this. We have, you know, help with the sponsor to guide us through this. And later on, you know, the book will talk about after we do our fifth step, taking that hour of meditation, and that that has always been so helpful to just you know, look back and see if I've been thorough, and if I have everything on there that God wants me. And you know, it gives this reminder in here that resentments are futile and fatal. And I know that when I'm in that resentment, I can stew all day, all week sometimes, and just absolutely squander time that that could be used by God, you know, in service to others. And it's, you know, it says here it's terribly destructive. And I can't afford those resentments, and I can't stay in them. You know, for me, when with that learning patience, tolerance, and goodwill toward all men, there's many times that I just really struggle with that, and I just don't have, I have ill feelings towards people, and I can't seem to just, you know, will myself to, you know, to have good feelings. And it's when I finally can just throw up my arms and tell God that I can't give patience, I can't give tolerance, I can't give love to this person, but you can. And, And when I let go of, you know, me trying to just try harder and be more, and just, I can't, but God can, and God worked within me, and let God, and then I can have that. He gives me that love, that patience and tolerance towards others, and that goodwill. And then with this help, you know, I become willing to straighten out the past, and, you know, and give it my best effort, you know, to straighten that out. That's going to come later in steps 8 and 9 also. So what a wonderful process right here. And I'm just so grateful for the help and support, first of all, of God in this, and then all the fellowship and all the people there to help. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Nicole S. from Colorado. Blanca BG, welcome. It's your turn. Blanca, press *1 to unmute, please.
Good morning. Thank you, moderator, for taking the meeting. And hello, good morning, brothers and sisters in program. You know, I always struggled with this. I have to be honest. I always struggled with, yes, it's so important to have tolerance and kindness. And I would read all of the things, like in this paragraph, what the big book says about, you know, seeing the fault within ourselves and being, you know, being understanding and loving and kind and remembering that it's all about me and not them and all of those things. And I took it all in. I did. But it remained a struggle for me because I felt that, well, how does that work, you know, and how is allowing someone to treat me poorly, to treat me badly, to say cruel things to me, how is that my letting that go going to help them? It certainly wasn't helping me. My resentments continued to grow. You know, I felt like, does that mean I need to be a doormat? You know, I said, well, that, and does that mean that I have to let that, that's taking power away from me. I can't let others dictate how I feel about myself because that's robbing me of my power. And I cannot give anyone that much power. I can't, because then I won't be able to, how will I live? You know, if I allow everything other people say to have an effect on me. But I did, and I continue to allow that to happen. I wasn't true to myself. And as a result, I continued to get into altercations with people. Oh, you can't say that to me. You can't make me feel like that. And recently, just recently it even happened. There it was, that defect of mine. How dare you say that to me? And I got into a fight, a verbal fight with someone in my family. And all I can say is how terrible I felt after it was over. I didn't feel like I'd won anything. I felt like I had said horrible things to this person and hurt them. Why? Why? That didn't benefit me at all. I just felt like so, just so low. And I realized that I don't need to kill people with kindness and allow them to walk over me. The best thing for me to do is to walk away lovingly, let them go. This person was toxic. What did it benefit me to say the things I said to this person? Well, that's my character defect. And I now know what it means in the big book that says you don't have to kill people with kindness. Kill them. You can kill them with silence, or you can just, before it gets to that point, walk away. Believe me, it makes a big difference. But that is my character defect, and I will continue to struggle with that. I am only human.
That's it's time, not, please, Blanca.
Thank you. It's a simple program, but not an easy one. And on that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Blanca BG. Thank you to everyone who shared and to Team Monday. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for this morning, Monday, January the 13th, the 7 a.m. meeting, is 22073. That's 22073. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Lisa B. will be reading A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Hey, Lisa.
Good morning, Lynn. Can I be heard?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until